It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are on the discussion of artificial environments. Now, of course, we all know artificial intelligence. But what about an environment that's honestly maybe just as fake as the intelligence or the internet that we log on to every day? Jeff?
You in your house for the season of year we're approaching Christmas have a delicious, delightful candy land sitting on your countertop that makes me want to eat it, but if I did, I would be very disappointed.
That's true. A bunch of candy shops going around the kitchen island, yes.
And every home's got its own style and flavor, so to speak, of even smells, of how we try and create a microenvironment that stands apart from the rest of the world.
Or at least separates itself to us, right?
Yeah.
Well, of all the things that we find most important.
Yeah, it's our own accent, if you will. Our own little, again, microenvironment that we want to
control the elements.
Control, and it makes us feel good and feel happy and want to be home, right? Want to be in the house. And have you ever considered maybe in the same way that we try and control our little environments in our homes, that maybe the world that we live in is being controlled the same way?
Like artificially?
Yeah, like a artificial micro environment, micro and macro.
So something that seems real.
Oh, it is real. It's real, but may not be true. Because even lies are real. They're just not factually based. They're lies.
Yeah, but then what makes them real?
A counterfeit coin.
Okay.
Has mass, has the shine, and may even buy the same things that the other coin, the real coin, will buy. But it's counterfeit. It's a fraud.
It only is perceived as real because it has the confidence behind it of what actually is.
It mimics what is true, and so that it gains confidence, and so it's able to acquire the same things the authentic, true things can.
It's almost presenting as a false light or a false color. You have the real color of gold, right? And then sometimes if you really focus in closely at a fake gold coin, maybe the gold color isn't quite the same.
Yeah, I think the gold miners back in the day, they said there's real gold and there's fool's gold, you know.
Exactly.
You're playing some music for me that you used AI to help you write. So and just so our audience knows, because I was as clueless as any, and you correct me if I get something wrong.
All right.
But you can give as little or as much input as you want, and the AI will generate what is lacking.
Yep, it'll take your input, basically, and go from there. So, for example, they have two settings within the app where one is called lyrics. So, like, if you have lyrics you've written, you input them there. And then underneath that, you can pick the mood you're looking for as far as, like, just a couple examples would be, like, passionate, uplifting, happy, joyful, weird, nostalgic. I mean, there's tons of them, but those are just a few, right? And then under that, you can go to genres, and I mean, there's hundreds. Americana, soul, to country, rock, hip-hop, obviously pop, jazz, all kinds of different African musics, Jamaican music, pretty much any genre of music you could come up with. It's probably on there.
They've trained the AI to not just take the words and make some flowery comment. It's like the AI understands the language and combines the emotion you're trying to convey and accurately, effectively does that. I mean, it moves you emotionally.
I would say yes, but it's not quite all the way there yet. A lot of the music I've shown you is probably, let's say, I think I showed you 3 or 4 different songs, right? So let's say for each song, I've probably went through maybe 10 to 15 demos to get to the one song that I liked as far as what I was looking for.
Okay, so
so it's not perfect yet, but it is on its way.
So you're saying it's almost like the AI is getting lucky?
No, I don't think it's getting lucky. I think it's probably like a child in terms of its emotional understanding, if that makes sense.
Well, all right, let me say it a different way. There are versions of artwork of maybe the same caption that we're trying to paint or background we're painting, whatever it is, painting to a poem. Mm-hmm. and we like this version better than the other. So like a trial and error. When I say lucky, trial and error, where it's this one's, they're all good, but this one more accurately conveys what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I would say, let's say we did 10 demo songs. 6 or 7 of them are probably decent. 1 to 2 are probably bad. Like where they're just like, they don't sound very good as far as they don't sound really auto-tuned or anything. It's just like the words and the beat of the song just kind of don't mesh real well, right?
It's not jiving.
Yeah. All frequency, I would say, but yeah. And then there's usually one that's going to be really good. But as you just described, that's kind of like beauty being in the eye of the beholder, right? In terms of that one really good one for me is just as the creator kind of honing in on the exact thing that I was specifically looking for. To where someone else may have liked one of the other 7 as what they were looking for, right?
But as I'm listening to this and I'm processing what this all means, I'm as fascinated as I am frightened. Because on the fascination standpoint, it's amazing what technology has come to. Mm-hmm. Like, it truly is remarkable how it can invoke this unalive thing can invoke emotion in me when that requires intelligence, that requires thought, that requires,
I would say yes, but my pushback to that is ultimately the creator of the art in this case still the art, music's art, so the creator of that though is still human. Although it may have had artificial assistance, it's still the creator of the music invoking
right,
the emotion.
Right, and I totally agree with you. But it took me off guard, I guess. Not off guard. It put me on guard. It put me on guard because, well, what you just said is correct. It got input not just from you, but from whoever created the algorithm that governs how it functions.
Well, and let's be fair, we're really, people just like me in this case, are training this algorithm to right. have a form of emotional intelligence, right?
Yes.
And I mean, me and the thousands of other people using the same app, we're training it to have that.
It's pulling all that information to learn how to, I hate to say it, not just to be liked by people.
Well, no, how to emotionally manipulate.
And that blew my mind. I was sitting there going, oh my gosh, I'm being manipulated.
Well, you
here.
Go, I didn't realize I'm in someone else's conscience.
Yeah, that's okay, no.
And so, I was like, but you always have been.
I always have.
If you think of sales as a business in general, it's emotional manipulation. I'm convincing you that you need the product I have.
Let's tease this out. So I've always known that all of us live within God's aquarium, if you can think of it that way. God has created this just so environment that we live in, where all the necessities for life are present. And so we're living within God's construct. But inside this construct, we have grown in our intelligence and understanding of the human mind and heart, what governs us, what drives us. For example, we were saying just in casual conversation, warming up to finally starting a podcast, was that I've realized in the most recent weeks that most of us really don't care about truth. We just care about, and you said it, comfort. And it's like, yeah, it's we know how we feel. We know how we want to feel. And that's our ultimate value system, it seems, today in our culture. And that's cross-culture. We don't really care so much about what is true and factual, just how it makes us feel.
Well, or if it really has an impact on our immediate everyday lives.
Right.
Like, other than that, then we're not really, if we're not presently impacted, we don't really pay much mind to it,
well,
right?
Well, no, because whether you believe a truth or a lie, it can still make you feel good.
I think that's what's hard, too, as I was explaining to you with creating art in general, is creating art that you have people who make art that's just whatever the current trend of the time is, to where everybody loves it because it's the it thing for the moment, but it doesn't last. It's not timeless art because it's not true. But then you have art that's lasted for centuries, right?
Okay, so you're saying the art that transcends time is because it's true.
Right. It always withstands. But what's really hard, though, is being an artist in the moment of, do you make the art that is the it right now thing that you're probably going to receive more publicity and more credit for in your lifetime or immediate focus and situation?
Which is why we appreciate some artists after they're dead, because sure. their work.
Well, you realize the implications of the art they made because they could see so far ahead of what their everyone
culture,
else.
Yeah, their culture could
that
not.
That much of their generation didn't understand their art.
Einstein's a great example.
100%. Yeah. To where now we view him as like, wow, this guy was just a brilliant, right? One of the brightest minds of all time.
Yeah, like an alien or something.
to where people in his time and generation probably thought of him as very odd and peculiar and like, who is this dude? Like, he's not like anybody else.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a big struggle that any big time artist who has opportunities like that probably faces, right? Do I make the it art of right now that bestows the credit upon me?
And the money, right? The money,
yeah,
too.
Sure, yeah, sure. The fame. Or am I really truly about the art that I feel the desire and the call to make that may not necessarily be the brightest shining thing of the day, but is going to withstand time.
Mm. Now we're living in multi layers of constructs. And that's what frightened me, was that I didn't realize until listening to your songs that I'm living in another construct that I was unaware existed. I'm like everybody else. I'm independent. You know, I think I'm somewhat intelligent, and I think in many ways, I overestimate what I'm capable of doing, and I underestimate what others are capable of doing to me in manipulation. That's frightening. That's
That makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Well, I mean, who does?
I guess the ones who are manipulating us.
Yeah, but in a way, you kind of just described, like, everyone kind of, when you really think about it like that, everybody kind of manipulates everybody in some capacity, even not even intentionally.
Yeah. Just by the nature of an exchange. And I guess that doesn't bother me as much because, yeah, like we just discussed last week, there's the butterfly effect, and all of our decisions affect everyone, like good or bad.
You know, I think the scariest thing with this being one example of an algorithm that really, in the grand scheme of life, doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's making music. I guess you could say music matters, but it's just for people who don't have professional studios and the whole nine yards, yeah, who like to write music, to make some music.
Yeah.
But these algorithms on a grander scale are all doing the same thing.
Okay. Well, let me say it a different way, because you're absolutely right. This is not the only place where AI is influencing our culture.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is just one, like, speck of the map of what's going on.
And is an important place as music has in our life. Imagine this in regard to the news. Imagine this in regard to the economy, the market, anything.
I mean, there's already, they say the Aladdin software in terms of the economy already makes, like, I think 50 to 60% of the trades that happen every day on the stock market.
The military, the drones. I mean, AI, your phone, your news feed, like from YouTube or Instagram to TikTok.
Yeah.
They've all got an algorithm, which is fed by an AI that has profiled you and found what you.
Really, it's fed by you, but it knows you better than you know.
Yeah, the little input you gave it was enough for it to understand the way your mind works. And then even, this is the scary part, is to even steer you to particular content that it wants, or I should say not it wants, but its designer who put in the algorithm wants you to know and believe and feel.
Oh, let me give you one even better than that.
Okay.
It's so good at this point. Like, so we'll just use like the Facebook Reels. It can tell your mood as far as, like, if you watch, like, it'll give you some videos, you kind of scroll past a couple, and let's say you stop on it shows you a comedian, and it's a little 2-minute segment of him doing some stand-up, right? And you stay and watch. All right, now it knows you want to watch some jokes. You're in a laughy mood. Well, all of a sudden, there's 4 or 5 more comedians coming right behind. Like, it can change that fast. Or it sees that you're watching, let's say, some news clip. Oh, you want to see some news. Okay, bam, here we go. Here's a pipeline of news. But you're right. It doesn't give you the news that maybe
you want.
It gives you the news that you think you want.
Yeah, you're being spoon-fed, and you don't even know it. I don't know. I've heard some allusions to this from some people throwing out warnings. Elon Musk. It all just fell on me like a ton of bricks. Like,
here's the
whoa.
I think that here's the scariest thing with it is that if it isn't the way it's being rushed into right now, it's just full go. Got to do it. Everything. Yes, yes, yes. No hesitation. Nobody pumps the brakes. What happens when these software programs or algorithms or supercomputers, quantum computers, whatever they may be, what happens when they are capable of, like, they're smarter than man? I mean, then you're looking at the Matrix, man.
Yeah, that's, they've openly said that one of the Pandora boxes they're trying to open is to make it a sentient being, self-aware, and able to make up its own mind. But
that's kind of what we just talked about in terms of the music algorithm. We are all programming this algorithm to have emotional intelligence.
Okay, so let's think about what
do you use to make up your mind?
Think of the makeup.
Emotional intelligence.
Think of the makeup of our society. And what you just said, if you were to take the best of us and let that be the input it takes to receive the programming, sure. That's great.
Right.
Okay, so take the most vile of us.
Right. Like your mind just totally dark.
Yeah.
Despair. And.
But both are giving it. And so it's going to have the range of both.
Well, not only that, not only is it going to have the range of both, who's giving a greater input?
Yeah. That's. Something dark comes this way. You know, it's like that whole thing that saying the devil's hands have been busy. It's like, whoa. It just seems so innocuous to me until now.
Well, in one of the songs I showed you, the lyrics are talking about, like, the devil knocks at your door with your dreams in his hand. Like, he's not going to look like a monster. He's going to seem like you're... What does this look like? This looks like your friend, right? Because is it convenient? Is it awesome? Can it do some really cool things? Heck yeah. But at the same time, no one's giving the caution sign to say, hey, we should also consider the other side.
Well, isn't that what... The few who are actually working with this technology are saying, hey, I'm as scared as I am enthralled because...
I shouldn't say no one's giving the caution sign. It's just being ignored. There are people who are saying, like, hold on a minute.
I think most people are like I just was, oblivious.
Sure.
You're just kind of walking through.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking in terms of people who actually, like you just said, work with this stuff. Yes, I think the average everyday person, we don't really think about it like that, right?
No. Meanwhile, our car can stay in the lines, you know, all by itself. I mean, they're almost driverless cars now. And honestly, I really think the technology is already there. We're just not fully implementing it.
So my wife and I were on a plane about 10 years ago. I want to say it was 2014 or 2015. And we're flying. So it's the two of us. And there's a guy in the window seat. He's probably, I'd say, our age within 5 years either way. So we're about 22 years old at the time. No, he wouldn't have been. He was definitely an adult. So he was probably about our age to 25. And he, like at the end of our flight, he goes, hey, I just had a question, if you don't mind. He noticed me using like VoiceOver on my phone. And he's like, I'm a software engineer. And I kind of work with that stuff a little bit and, like, you know, just intrigues me. Like, how does it work for you? And do you like it? Yada, yada. And I was talking to him, and here this dude ended up going to Georgia Tech University as an engineer and worked down Ford or GM, one of the major auto manufacturers. So I was asking him, I go, hey, when are we going to have self-driving cars that are like good enough for me? I could get in and just go somewhere. He put it in the GPS. And he said by 2030. So he didn't talk much about it, but by the, like, kind of the hints he was giving, he kind of gave me the vibes of like, that was kind of stuff that he was working on. What comes about of that? But you're, I mean, we're already super close, right?
I forget when they said, maybe it's 2030, what percentage, is it 60% of jobs will be replaced by AI machines running the AI? I guess there'll be technicians, but I mean, but
when you actually think about that though, that means 6 in 10 people are out of work.
Yeah, that's where they talk about
what are they going to do?
Universal income. That's what they've asked. What are we going to do with society? They're saying, are we going to hook virtual?
I mean, can you think about the problems that's going to cause? As they say, what do they say? The idle hands are a devil's workshop. Is that right? I mean, we got just people just sitting around, nothing to do, nowhere to go.
It's like, okay, put it this way. People can probably wrap their mind around this. When you put a group of teenagers in the middle of a city at 2 a.m. in the morning, and they have nothing to do, what things will they find themselves doing? Probably eventually, nothing probably good.
Some trouble.
Yeah, no, probably right. Nothing good.
And I mean, eventually, most people. Well, I'm not a bad 100%. I get it. But like, when you've got all of a sudden 2 weeks go by and you've got nothing to do, you've watched TV for a week.
You're bored.
You're gonna start developing some bad habits.
You're gonna fill that time with something.
Well, you just have to.
Well, you know what you're gonna fill it with? Whatever the algorithm gives you. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but we are trained to think that every 2 years, the most important thing that governs and dictates our present and future direction is tied to elections. And we give little thought to this mentionable that we're discussing right now with AI, when it probably has a greater influence and impact on all of us than elections.
There's all kinds of people who have, you know, programs and softwares of probabilities of outcomes of like different events happening within the country and like likelihoods of things. So, I mean, that being said, if like the people out here, the common person has the capabilities to make algorithms like that, like we don't think the people in charge do.
Yeah.
And then, but then, you know, the next question is, okay, well, if that's the case, how often do they listen to those algorithms? Like, is it 100% of the time they follow what it says? Is it 50% of the time? Do they simply use it as just guidance as far as like, all right, you know, if these things continue to happen, these outcomes are likely to occur. So we need to maybe try to steer things in this direction a little more to avoid that from happening. Or is it just the, hey, the algorithm said we need to do this and that's what we're going to do.
It's a cautionary tale. It's a warning sign. You know, it's like they say moth to a flame, where because of the way God made insects, they are drawn to light in the darkness. And in these micro artificial environments, you know, light, all the light you have in your house is artificial. That's fake light. Real mm-hmm. light is what comes from the sun.
Right.
You know, the stars. The
light shining through the window.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we've created in our homes these artificial environments with fake light. But that fake light still works. It still draws insects. And so you can create a micro attractive environment. We've done it for how many decades now where we've observed this. You leave an outside light on.
Oh, yeah. The bugs
are
coming.
And the bugs are coming, right? And in the same way, we're the insects being drawn to the artificial whatever it is that they're creating.
Ah, the artificial light being created.
Yeah. And it's a fake truth, but it sure feels good.
Mmm.
Man.
Yeah, that's kind of rough. Why'd you have to leave it like that?
It's just a cautionary tale. Be careful. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's fascinating. But I'm telling you, proceed with caution and be mindful of the potential that even now you're being manipulated with the channels you watch, with the music you listen to, with the things you read on the internet, not just the conversations that you have with your friends and family.
Stop and actually take a moment to look. What am I really being shown? What is actually in this painting I'm looking at? Or what do these lyrics really say in the song I'm listening to? You know, I know the beat kind of hooks me in and I like it, but what are the words actually saying? Are those something I really believe in? That I speak over myself every time I sing them? Or the art every time I look at it? Is that something I really come into agreement with? And that's a... You're right.
Yeah.
It feels good, but is that something you really want to be about?
So we're consumers. We understand that, okay, I'm sipping on my coffee and that tastes good and it makes a smile and a euphoria fall upon me and it feels good. That's a form of influence. And what you've got to come to understand, all of us do, we understand that computers and phones and devices, they're programmed. You're training things. But what we don't every day acknowledge is you also are being programmed.
Well, right, but also we're kind of programming ourselves in the sense of you use coffee, like for you, coffee associates a smile and making you feel good, right? So you've associated those things together in your mind.
Be careful what you consume.
Well, and be careful what you connect with.
Yes. And that's all tied in that bundle of cautionary tale. I think we should be careful. Be very conscious about what influences you are allowing in. And watch this too. And what influence you are in this world, because you are one.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. And remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.